Well, good morning once again. So good to see all of you here today. The cooler weather brought some people out. See, it cools off a whole lot. We're down in the 10s. Anyway, good to see you all. I'm going to talk about God's faithfulness today. Is God faithful? All the time. How important is it for us to believe that He is faithful? Extremely. Crucial. Vital. How important is it for us to keep focused on His faithfulness? No matter what we face, we need to have that fact right there in the front of our minds that God is faithful. There's an expression that originated back in the mid-1950s, I guess. And it was immortalized by a television show called Beretta. It's about taking it to the bank. Everybody know what that means? You can take that to the bank. If God were to write you a check, you could take it to the bank. You wouldn't worry about it bouncing, would you? No. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Of course his checks aren't going to bounce. Taking it to the bank. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We believe. We believe God. We believe God because He said it. That's all we need. That's faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. A lot of times it looks like, you know, I heard someone say once that if God speaks a word to you, makes a promise to you, guess what the next thing that's going to happen is? It's going to look like it's never going to happen. Because the enemy's going to try to steal that away. You can take that to the bank. Take it to the bank. In biblical terms, it means of a certainty. Most assuredly. Verily, verily. I've got a lot of scripture today. Probably going to be a lot more of scripture than there is of me, which that should make some of you happy. Scripture is always good, isn't it? Faithfulness. God's promises. Acts 12:1-6. Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. I talked about this not too long ago. I don't think I'd be able to sleep. If I thought someone's going to be cutting my head off the next day, you know, that might keep your mind a little active and you might have trouble sleeping. But here's Peter. Sound asleep. The angel had to shake him, kick him, or whatever it is. He had to get his attention. Wake up, because Peter was sleeping very soundly. That doesn't make sense, does it? Unless you're relying on God's promises. John 21:18-19, Jesus said to Peter, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. What's Jesus telling him? He's telling him he's going to be crucified when he's older, when he's an old man. So here's Peter in prison waiting to have his head cut off. No, that's not what Jesus said was going to happen to him. For one thing, he didn't consider himself an old man at that time. And for another thing, Jesus said he was going to be crucified. So I'm going to go to sleep, dream nice dreams, and wait for the Lord to do what he's going to do. He was taking it to the bank, wasn't he? Making it count. Acts 28:3-5. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Oh. Now, why was he able to do that? Go back to Acts 23:11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. He wasn't at Rome yet. He knew he was going to Rome. God had said he's going to Rome. So this snake isn't going to hurt me. Joshua 21:43-45. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein, and the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Joshua 23:14. Joshua speaking, he says, and behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in your hearts, in all your hearts, and in all your souls, that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed thereof. Has God ever let you down? He's never let me down. He's always done things. Sometimes he does things I don't understand. But yet I know that it's going to work out for good, isn't it? 1 Kings 8:56. This is Solomon speaking. Blessed be the Lord that has given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. There it is again, almost identical. God says it. You can take it to the bank. In 1 Samuel 24:26, twice, David was running from Saul. Saul was trying to kill him. And David had the opportunity to kill Saul. He was encouraged by his generals, his troops, his friends, to go ahead and take Saul's life, solve the problem once and for all. But David didn't do it. David had the opportunity to kill Saul. As I said, Saul was trying to kill him. So why not? That's self-defense. That's justifiable, isn't it? David knew he would be king. He knew he would be king because God had said so. David was perfectly content to allow God to do it his way in his own time. David knew God didn't need any help from him to make it come to pass. Do we ever get in God's way by trying to help him out? I would never do that much. God doesn't need our help. Unless he says, you know, this is what I want you to do because this is your part in it. Sometimes he does that. But if he doesn't tell you not to do, or if he doesn't tell you to do something, then just be still and know that he's God, right? Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans of good and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future, to give you the end, the result that you seek. He has plans for each one of us. Genesis 15:13-16. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great abundance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Exodus 12:41. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Is there a contradiction there? One said 400, the other said 430. But you notice it says, if you look real close, and we always have to look real close with the Bible, it says they were afflicted for 400 years. They were there for 430 years, but part of that time they were guests. Kind of tells us we shouldn't stay too long when we go visit, right? But they were there 430 years, and the selfsame day it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. God keeps his promises. And he's right on time. We might think he's tarrying, but he doesn't tarry. Daniel 9:25-26. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, these are weeks of years, by the way. I think most people know that. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. The commandment went out to rebuild Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple and the walls. And sometime later, in the time of Jesus, Luke 19:41-42. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou had known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they're hidden from thine eyes. In this thy day. He's referring to the day that Daniel spoke of, the exact self same day, was when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that donkey. Second Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Psalm 89:8, O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? His faithfulness surrounds him. It permeates every part of his being. Then when the Lord became flesh, and Isaiah 11:5, it talks about it. It says in 11:5 of Isaiah, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. literally his kidneys, the seat of his emotions. Faithfulness. Psalm 36:5, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. It's far above anything we can comprehend. Of course, God's far above anything we can comprehend, isn't it? And we always wonder why he would even have anything to do with us. Even David wondered that. Numbers 23:19, that was our opening scripture this morning. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? You know, we can find examples of God's faithfulness all through the Bible, and we do. Genesis 8:22. God speaking to Noah said, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. This characteristic of faithfulness is essential to his being. Without it, would he be God? For God to be unfaithful would be contrary to his nature, which would be impossible. As I asked earlier, has God ever let you down? Is God ever going to let you down? No. You know, that might require a little bit of trust sometimes, right? Because sometimes we don't know what he's doing. A lot of times we don't. So what do we do when he says something or when something happens that we don't understand? We have to remember he's faithful. We have to rely on that. Keep that fact, that knowledge in the very front of our mind. Our God is faithful. The faithful God. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful. We thank you, Lord, that we can believe you, we can trust you, that we could take what you say to the bank, Lord. Because you will do what you say you will do. And Lord, we know that you have our best interests at heart. Because you know the plans you have for us. You know, sometimes we look at that verse and we don't, you know the plans you have for us. Every detail, every intricate part of the plans, you know. Lord, work in our lives. We give our hearts to you. We give our lives to you. Lord, take control of our lives. Have your way with us. Your word says that he that's begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Lord, we may be a long ways away from where we should be, but we know that you're working in us. We know you're making the changes. And we know that one day We're going to stand in front of you. And we're going to be completed. We're going to be perfected. We're going to be in your presence. And I believe, Lord, we're going to understand everything that happened. And we're going to know even more than we do now that you are faithful. Lord, bless your people this morning. Lord, keep us close to you. Lord, we need you. These times are getting darker, Lord. Be our rock. Be our strong tower, our refuge. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd go with each one of us and you'd keep us safe and you'd bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming. Remember, at 1:30 this afternoon is going to be Bill's memorial. So we'll see you then.